Welcome to Sound Pathways, the vibrant space where award-winning violinist, intuitive sound healer, and best-selling author Karen Olson connects with world-class musicians, visionary authors, and trailblazing thought leaders. Together, they explore the power of sound, creativity, and transformation to dissolve barriers, awaken your highest self, and ignite the path to living your dream. Each week, join Karen for inspiring stories and soulful insights designed to help you create boldly, heal deeply, and step fully into the life you were meant to live.
Welcome to Sound Pathways. I am so thrilled to share with you the amazing Eileen Bluestone Sherman. She is an Emmy Award-winning creator, educator, producer, playwright, lyricist, and author. Whether working as a theater arts Montessori teacher, university professor, television writer, young adult novelist, recording producer, dramatist, or musical theater lyricist, Eileen loves sharing her passion for storytelling with all ages. Through the years, her written works were twice honored with Emmy Awards, a National Jewish Book Award, the International Reading Association's Teacher Choice Award, and a Thorpe Men Honorable Mention Literary Award. We will be learning about her most recent project, Leanie's Library. Eileen conceived, directed, and produced this amazing and unique project. She co-created it with her sister, as part of the Bluestone Sisters. It's a digital arts education project. It combines music, rhythm, rhyme, animation, and text. And she is one of the most amazing persons that I know and have met. And she has affected my life so much. So I'm so excited. So I would love to know more, and I want to share about your inspiration behind Leanie's Library.
Oh, well, thank you, first of all, Karen, for having me on today. This is a lot of fun. Thank you so much. So it really goes back. One day I was, for some reason, we all do this. Every once in a while, we think about our childhoods. And I was thinking about my very early childhood when I was 5 and 6 years old and just learning to read. And as soon as I could learn to read, I became an avid reader. I loved it. It was something that was, I think, I was waiting for intellectually. But at the same time, at that age, I really just treasured my parents, their record collection of Broadway scores. I did not grow up in New York. I live in New York now, but I did not grow up in New York. So I had never even been to a Broadway show, but they would tell me about Broadway musicals. And they brought home, and in fact, the first, I guess, movie musical I saw when I was 6 years old was a landmark musical called The Pajama Game. And I can still remember sitting in that theater at six and some of the scenes and the way they affected me. And so I used to, this was my entertainment. And, you know, my mom would say, Eileen, find something to, you know, keep yourself busy. And so I would put on the music and I would dance around the living room and I would be leaping and spinning and running and just loving it. And what would happen is, or I did not know through the years, as I was learning all these scores, I was learning so much vocabulary because I still know the old shows that I grew up with. I know most of the lyrics to all the songs when I hear them. And so I was learning language. And then I was reading all the time. By the time I was in third grade, I read all of Louisa May Alcott's series from Little Women on. And then I discovered my mother's, by fourth grade, I discovered my mother's Book of the Month Club. So I was reading adult novels already. So I just loved reading. I loved reading and I loved dancing to Broadway musicals. And so, and my sister was always, she was great. She is still a great musician, great pianist, and her love with piano. So the two of them, those two aspects of my childhood, I was thinking about one day, and it occurred to me that Basically, everybody learns differently. I was learning, yes, I loved reading. I've understood the language, but I was also learning through dancing around my living room to rhythm and rhyme and sound and music and orchestrations. I could not have articulated that then, but I was absorbing it. And so I started thinking about this process of how about if we took some of the songs that Gail and I, she's the composer, I'm the lyricist, that Gail and I had written for some early childhood musicals, for children's theater musicals, that these songs had never been recorded, and I made them into picture books. And because my first published book was a picture book, but I made them into picture books, which came alive. Because when you're watching them and they're musicals, then there's and we would animate them, and it would just be like production numbers from Broadway shows, but completely animated. So the idea started just kind of growing and growing in my mind. So that would be the inspiration for Leanie's Library.
Wow, that is really remarkable. It also makes me really curious about how you wanted to reach out to people who might be struggling to read. I guess because it was so easy for you and it was such a love, you wanted to make sure that everyone would have that chance.
Well, as you said, I was both a Montessori teacher, plus I've been a professor of both undergraduate and graduate students also for almost 27 years. I realized in high school, I had a very good friend who is still a fabulous visual artist, fabulous. But academics were hard to her, for her. Academics were easy for me, but even to this day, I'm lucky. I simply cannot draw a straight line. I do not have that kind of ability. And I realized, and I also saw through my sister where music, it wasn't movement for my sister, it was music. It was music and rhythms. And I'm thinking, everybody learns differently. I understand that. And so I thought, well, if we put this combination together, I would be able to kind of open up a big umbrella that everybody could basically enjoy underneath it. They could just, and then I was also thinking about my granddaughter, who is now a very accomplished violinist. She is 14 years old already, but when she was a little girl, she was only interested in watching animation. She wasn't interested in watching the regular old-time movie musicals that I had loved. Animation was her thing. So I'm thinking, I need to figure out what's going to draw each child in because they'll be drawn in not realizing that they're learning. That was basically my premise.
Oh, I love that. It reminds me of when I was in my doctoral studies and we had to read this book, the last name was Gaynor, about the five different intelligences. And I really loved it because some people are so amazing at taking tests, like SAT or whatever those tests are, and can have a memory of details and numbers. And that's how we kind of test people's IQs. And then there's all this other list of different ways, like there's the emotional intelligence, but that really is beautiful when we realize that we all have our strengths and we don't have to compare ourselves to someone that has a gift that we just didn't get handed to us, but we can share what we have.
I agree. I share that philosophy exactly. I tell any child, any student, adult that I've ever met, each of us have our own gifts. None of us get everything, but each of us have something very special. And typically, when you realize what that gift is, what's easier for you also gravitate to it because success breeds success. And so I always feel that that's really important in the classroom.
Yeah, and just the power of music in whatever form, if it's us, how we listen or we get to create and perform, it's just uplifts us so high and it's so healing. I love those shows like America's Got Talent and different ones. And so often someone's been bullied and made like Ed Sheeran. he was also very bullied, and how having that special gift that might make them different and made fun of is it's just a gift to the world, and to help everybody find that. And certainly reading is a big part of it. So it's amazing. And how did you come up with the title, Leany's Library?
Oh, well, I have to give my daughter credit for that. I was thinking about all these different titles, but my granddaughter, since she was a baby, called me Leanie. Instead of grandmom, it was Leanie. So
Oh.
my daughter called me up today. She says, "What do you think about Leanie's Library?" And I said, "I love it." Okay, so there we
Yeah. That's great. That's really perfect. So how many book musicals are there? And can you explain a
Oh.
little message
There,
about each
okay,
one?
there will, when we are completed, we are still in developing more. When we are
Oh,
completed,
wow.
there will be five in total. So far, when everyone goes online, they can enjoy the first three completed. But the fourth will come out this fall, and the fifth this winter. And basically, what I did is I just went through music catalog that my sister and I, through the years, and some of the songs. In fact, one of the songs at Mr. Weintraub's grocery store, because as I said, my sister and I actually have had a writing team together for over 40 years, so we've gone through an awful lot of different projects together. And I was thinking about at Mr. Weintraub's grocery store because I don't know whether all your listeners and viewers know this, but when you're writing musicals, whether it's for children's theater or for adult theater, it's not, "Oh, I wrote it. Here's the work. Now go perform it." It's always rewriting, rewriting, and figuring out what might be better. And so at Mr. Weintraub's grocery store originally was the opening production number of a musical we wrote based on my first picture book, The Odd Potato. And I really loved it, but when we brought it, and it was produced around but never recorded, the song, all these songs were never recorded until now. But like at Mr. Weintraub's grocery store, when we had kids, community theaters all over the country were producing The Odd Potato at the time, and it was the perfect opening song. But when I brought it to New York, and we no longer were going to have a cast of 40 getting 40 kids up there, but we really had, it was called Broadway Sings the Odd Potato, and we had major Broadway stars, obviously our budget was limited. And so we only had seven people. And I was told by the director that we needed a new opening song. So while I always loved at Mr. Weintraub's grocery store, that basically had to be put inside the drawer and away for another rainy day. And so that was one of the first ones I thought, we're going to make a picture book out of at Mr. Weintraub's grocery store. Now, the first one that was completely completed was called Rotten Apples. Now, Rotten Apples is the theme song to the very, very first musical that my sister and I ever wrote for Hallmark's Children's Theater in Kansas City. And this was the title song. And in fact, some years ago, when we were be performing some work at Carnegie Hall, I had some people perform Rotten Apples. So I had seen it in the children's theater, and I always loved it. I loved it the way with the live actors, the way they produced it. It was a big, like a big Broadway style musical scene. And then we did it again a little bit differently when we did it at Carnegie Hall. So again, that was one of the ones that I really wanted to make into a picture book. And that one really is a cautionary tale. That, more than all the other five, is truly the song about, it tells the story. It is a story song. So it is a more traditional picture book. The third one was always a favorite of mine, called It's a Bore to Be Me, because when I was a
I
little
love it.
girl, as I said, until I could really learn to read and escape into that reading, my mother heard a lot of time, "Oh, I'm bored. What should I do now?" And so I always had a very vivid imagination. And so I loved It's a Bore to Be Me. I think that just represents, I think, a lot of both adults and kids are going to relate to that one, thinking, oh,
Definitely.
until I get my turn to do what I want to do. And then the fourth one, which again is a song that came out of another musical, and a music a completely adult a musical written for adults, all about the legendary artist Norman Rockwell, which has been produced around the country quite a bit, and in fact had a special night of its own glory at Lincoln Center some years ago. But that is again was a song that by the time we got to the New York performances, it didn't make the cut. That was an earlier song, and I always loved it. So again, I brought out my favorites. And the last one, which again, this was a show that I was promised it was going to be produced, but at the last minute, they pulled the plug. And as I say to everyone who wants to be in the theater and musical world, welcome to showbiz. You got to be ready for the bumps in the road. This song was, again, the title road called The Big Win. And The Big Win, I always thought, and this was written in the 80s, but it was about robots and aliens and AI, everything,
No way.
nothing that anybody was talking about then. And so it's called The Big Win, and that will be the last of the series when it comes out this winter. So those are the
Oh, I
five.
love that. It's interesting that the big win was cut.
The Big Win was that show had a workshop, but it never got produced. In other words, there are lots of things that happen when you're in, particularly musical theater. When you're in musical theater, things keep evolving all the time and changing. But it's no different than when we talk about arrangements of songs. People may know many, many different songs, whether it's classical or contemporary, whether it's pop or, well, I won't say rap, but a folk. There's always a different kind of an arrangement of a song, and people like to play around with arrangements. And that's basically what happens with telling a story, because as different directors kind of dabble in telling your story that you've written as a script, they come and they say, "Well, maybe we don't need this, but I would really like to, enlarge, embellish on this character in this scene." And so you go back to the drawing board and just start writing again. So that's what happens. So, but I never throw out anything. If I think it's good, I keep it. I know it will be used at a later date.
Wow, there's so many things I want to talk about just from what you said. I'm going to jump on this one. So, since I love to think of the listener and how they can apply all this, it's kind of about life. You have the plan and you work out the plan, and then it's happening and it changes. And we can either go with it and feel like it's broadening it, or we can get a little upset because we're very attached to it. So I didn't realize how flexible and fluid it is in the production process, before it's all finalized. So what are the steps? You get the idea, and then you have the plan, and then you create it, and then in the end it adapts to the situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, what happens is that you obviously it always starts with an idea, I mean, I think anybody in any of the arts, you know that as you're creating it, that it's going to evolve and you're going to get other ideas, or maybe you're originally or something you were thinking or you were envisioning. It's not fulfilling exactly what you want, so you have to try again. And what happens is that, well, I will say that I was highly complimented many years ago because, as I, I'm also I've written three young adult novels, And an editor once said to me, he said, "You have the talent of rewriting." And I happen to think rewriting is very important. It's like, the key to great acting is reacting. It's not knowing your lines, but what was coming at you of how you do it. And in the talent of really good writing is listening. You've got to trust. You've got to have confidence in the people who are rounding you, whether there's a director, a musical director, a producer, an editor for a book, but if you have confidence in their judgment, then you listen to them. It's like having a great, it is, it's having a great teacher. I've been very lucky. I've had some really, really wonderfully, not just that they were inspiring, but they were smart. And I listened to that. Okay. So I always listen to everything. I listen. When I started writing, my kids were very young. They were young kids, little ones. But they would hear or read my stuff and they would give me their point of view. And they were the best audience because there was nothing, they weren't trying to make sure they didn't hurt mommy's feelings. They were telling me their true reaction. And so I always listen to what is, and I believe that only once did I kind of really push back from an editor saying, "No, that won't work for me because it's not going to fulfill where I want to take it at the end." However, I will say, and I'll tell anybody out there who's thinking about getting involved in the arts, if you surround yourself with really good people that you respect their opinion and their intelligence, and you figure out how to please them, but also how to keep the integrity of what you want to say, whatever it is, it's better. So that is, but I also have another philosophy. I always say you come to the project with a plan A, but you always have a plan B ready and make sure that plan B is even better than plan A. So that's how I work.
Oh, that's so inspiring. I think of life as a work of art and that we're all creating and all artists. And I love the idea of rewriting because that is hard when we've been having a going down a certain path and then we have to change sometimes suddenly. And it is in that key of pivoting that we could make our life go in an even higher place. But sometimes I think people get discouraged. Do you ever have any writer's block, or how would you deal with that?
Now, I don't think I have writer's block. I think what happens to me is
Good.
I write it down, I keep going, but then the next day I can come back to something and say, "Oh, this is terrible," and I start again. And so it's not a writer's block. But I keep writing. I can tell you that, particularly with some of my novels, I may have written the same paragraph over and over again 100 times just to get the right syntax of words, to get the right rhythm as people are reading it silently in their head. There is something there when we talk about rhythm, there's rhythm to language, which is really important. And so the way it makes it very effective. And so, and even in this project, Leanie's Library, these were songs that had been produced in shows. We had workshopped them. But my sister looked at a couple of lines in a couple of them and said, "You know, Eileen, I don't think that they're vocally going to be as strong. Why don't you rewrite them?" And I just did. I just, okay, so let's rewrite them. Because I don't think anything, you can say the same thing in so many different ways. And that's through music, that's through rhythm, that's through art, through the animation, through the visuals, and of course, through the text. You
And
can
through
say it.
life.
Right, and through life, absolutely. And so it's nothing should ever be that precious when you're trying to create something or even a, well, actually, this is great for problem solving because if you get into this mode of saying, "Okay, I can redo it, make you happy and me happy, and it will work," and work at that and not get discouraged. You'll always be a very, very good problem solver through life because that's what it is. Problem solving. If one thing doesn't work, then what's the next thing that's going to work?
Yeah, can you remember an example of a time when you had a pivot that worked out so much better? Does that come to mind?
I can just say that when I've been, okay, so maybe when we were working, The Odd Potato as a musical, all right, had been produced, as I said, as a children's musical all over the country. Kids groups had been producing it, but now I brought it to New York, and it was with a stellar Broadway community. They were Tony nominees. I mean, they were Tony winners. It was major, some major people in it. And these were the actors that are on and off Broadway all the time. And my musical director, there's a beautiful song in it that and he looked at the very ending and he said, and the ending was more or less, I had just repeated what I had said before. And he looked at it, he said, "No, Eileen." And this is in the middle, we're like maybe a week away from going into tech. And he looks at this and says, "No, Eileen, I've been thinking about this. I would like you that you can do better than this. This is not up to par, and this is a very beautiful ballad. I would like you to do better." And it first is kind of shocking, like it's jarring because this is something that had been set for years already. And then I thought, okay, just sit down, calm down, think about it. And I came up with a new lyric at the end, and it really is beautiful. And I always think of that musical director every time I hear it.
Oh, that's so exciting. How is it to be in the whole Broadway world? I mean, some people listening, we're both in the New York City area and we're familiar, and I'm the New York Pops. I'm always getting to play with Broadway stars, and the shows is so exciting. But some people maybe haven't been to New York, but now there's some on film that help imagine that whole experience. But what has your experience been with Broadway? How old were you when you were actually working in that field there?
Well, what happened is that, as I said, as a little girl, I fell in love with Broadway musicals and musical movies. And I mean, and they still, these people are my like professional heroes. I mean, many of them now that much older than I was have passed away, but it's great. That's why YouTube is so fabulous. You can go on and see their, pieces of entertainment, their scenes and their songs and dances. I just love dance. And so, but I can remember the very, very first time that we brought, and I will tell you this, I was already middle age. I'm older than most, probably many, all your listeners and stuff. I was in the middle of my life, okay, and we were doing just an equity reading. That's how you begin with all these shows, an equity reading of this Norman Rockwell musical. And we invited, I was just very lucky. The people knew the name Norman Rockwell. They were kind of fascinated. And one of the gentlemen that was in it was someone that I had always loved because he was one of the characters in 1776, which is all about the signing of the Declaration, a great musical. Well, the first day that I met him, it was like being a little girl again with stars in my eyes. And I'm telling him because his voice, but I will tell you what he did is that what he did, which was wonderful, which I saw. And that's when you say working with these, the people at the top of their form, it says right there on the music. And this was just a read through. So everybody was just getting it that day. But it said rather than sing the line there, you whistle. And as soon as it said there, nobody had told him to do this. He started whistling. And I went, and he was a great whistler. My dad was a great whistler. And I love when people come whistle. It's a gift that I did not get. Okay. So I was just like, and so afterwards, when I'm talking to him, it's again, my stars are in my eyes. And, it's like, I'm like, I can't believe this. And so it's always very, very exciting. If any of your listeners know the musical Annie, And the
Yes.
original Annie has sung my music and
Wow.
recorded when we did a concept, or Andrea McArdle. To be in the recording studio is just fantastic. And they're all very down-to-earth people. Basically, they are people with great gifts who also share a passion for what they do. They work very hard at what they do. Very hard. It's not like, oh, they just have this gift and they just come up and do this. It should always look that there's no effort at all, but there's a lot of work until you get to that moment in front of the audience. So
Wow.
but I'm telling you, I still love it. My sister and I can pinch ourselves when we hear some of these great voices. And of course, many of them now have recorded for us. So it's all there, on Spotify and Amazon and Music and Apple Music. And we just love it. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, you're the perfect example of working so hard, but making it look so easy. Do you have a schedule, like how many hours a day you write, or do you just go by how you feel, or how do you
Well,
schedule yourself?
I won't say I go by how I feel, but once I get into a project, I'm not really, I do make lists. I will say that I'm a list person, but as a writer, I've never made outlines. That I don't do. I always know where I'm beginning, and I typically know where I'm ending. Although not all the time, because some of the books I wrote, I wasn't quite sure where we were going to end. And so you take that journey, which is a lot of fun too. But I'm never sure about the middle. I'm never sure. The middle is what I'm discovering as I'm going along. And so I don't have hours. My life has always been, I've always been involved in different projects, doing different things at the same time. I won't say that I'm a multitasker, but I am a multi-careerist, let's put it that way. So I might be teaching at the same time. And of course, my organization, the Indie Collaborative, which I
Oh, we
think
want to
we
talk
might
about
talk about
that.
that, of course. Or producing or recording in a studio or writing something. So of course, if I'm given a deadline, I have to be very serious about the deadline. But other than that, it's basically, I just say, today I'm going to work on this. Or sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night. A lot of artists do this. They wake up in the middle of the night. They've got a great idea. That's when they do their best writing. So when I was raising my children and I was writing my young adult novels, basically that did not even begin until I put them to sleep. And then I was writing these books at 12 and 1 and 2 in the morning. So that's,
Yeah, I know how that is.
yeah, right? Okay. So everybody does that, but I'm not, I know some writers are very good. They say they get up at 7 and by, 8 or 9, they're there and they work 4 hours steady, but that's not my MO. I have to admit it. I
I
kind of,
relate to that. So when you're writing, it's almost like in your imagination you're living the story and it just
You
and it
said it perfectly. I'm
oh.
absolutely living the story. And even when we did Leany's Library, what I did is I came up, I was, and as I said, I'm not an artist, but I was the art director in basically, I engaged four fabulous young women who now a couple of them are in graduate school, some are just beginning their careers, and they had just graduated. And they are wonderful, but they're wonderful artists, wonderful animators, very well trained, highly well trained. But what happened is I tried to explain to them, I want you to think of this as a Broadway production number, and that would be the music that would underscore it. And then I would give them ideas as if I was directing it. And so we would direct it together and who the characters were and what they were, because that would basically give them ideas of how to costume them, how to set the environment. And so we basically were each of the Leany libraries, each of the what I call the picture book musicals, it's a little musical show. That's what it is.
Oh, they really are. They're little gems.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, is the listener and the reader one of the characters in your imagination as you're writing, do you think?
Well, I think that I'm thinking about Let me see. They are my imagination. You always have to think about the audience. You always have to. I was taught this a long time ago. No matter what you're writing for an audience. So you'll always have a more specific audience, but then you should always have a broader audience. My sister and I, Gail and I, take great pride in the fact that what we write for that might be considered children's music, children's theater, is equally appreciated and loved by adults. That it's not that we do never, first of all, we never dumb down, never, 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 because the whole idea is let's like enlarge your whole world vision of what is possible. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is that we see our audience as from 5 or 3 to 103. We think that I as I used to teach my graduate students when, and these were students that were not from the theater world. They were taking my course as an elective. They were from every other kind of professional world. And we talk about, and I said, you know, in the arts, there is no right or wrong. There's only good or bad. That's how you have to think about it. And you basically have to establish your taste. And if you listen to enough and watch enough really good art, then you are going to basically know what is good and what isn't, what was just mediocre or regular. So that's how I see it. So I don't think so much for, you know, children. At with Leany's Library, I was thinking about literacy. How do we make, because for some kids, this is very hard. They are not necessarily classroom academics that want to be, this is not how they learn. They will do well in life. But reading is an absolute essential tool that everybody's got to be very facile at. I don't care who you are and how you learn, but you've got to be facile at reading. So why can't we find a way to make it pleasurable for everyone to learn it and not even talk? We're not talking about we're going to learn to read or we're going to practice our reading skills. We're just going to have fun. And I think music and movement is fun.
Wow. That's beautiful. So when you're creating and you're in this flow and you have this big project involves so many people and you seemed so highly organized and like the most amazing leader, how do you work that into the elements of time and timelines and you know, when something has to be finished by, or how does that work for you?
Well, Leany's Library was a little bit easier in many ways because I could segment it by the actual particular picture book. I kind of like learned, I guess, basically, as I say, as they say, like, you know, my feet were held to the fire, and I learned through experience by the first producing projects where I was the lead producer. I learned an awful lot. You do. But, you know, a wonderful woman who was my mentor and a great director, she explained to me, and it's true, it's true. She said, you can produce two shows in your whole lifetime, you can produce 200 shows in your lifetime. And every time you've completed one, you think, oh, I've got this now. I know how to do this. And the truth is, every time you produce, it's all different. It's all new, all over again, because new things come up. But with, I would say, with Leany's Library, what I could do is first, the very first thing we needed to do, first, I needed to run the idea by my sister Gail to see if she thought it was a good idea, which she did. Not only is she a fabulous musician, she was a music educator for 40 years and used music to really change people's lives. She worked with the inner city kids of LA, and so she really did change lives through music and through musical theater, through the Broadway musicals. So she loved the idea. And once we did that, we needed to bring in a wonderful arranger. And I brought in a young fella that I knew from his performances and what he had done, but I did not know really much about. I knew that he did arranging, but I did not know how much arranging. And his name is Ricky Prasad Jr.
Yes.
And Ricky, he was very gung-ho and very excited to do it, but he had never really done arranged for musical theater.
Wow.
And so we kind of gave him some demos of what we had of the songs we needed and also the sheet music. But he had sessions with Gail. They talk, they're on either coast. He's in New Jersey, she's in LA, but they really talked it out. And Ricky is a highly talented guy,
Yeah.
brilliant at what he does, and he got it right away. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. So he came up with these five arrangements. But at the same time, as I said, I was working with the four animators. And I knew which of the picture books, musicals, I would give to each of them. And then we started talking about what. And the very first, the first animator who only works on if when they when your listeners and your viewers watch it, they'll see that every picture book musical begins with the same opening. So I wanted to make sure that people would get a branding that basically recognize this is Leany's library. And so we talked about that. And this young woman had just received her graduate degree from the School of Visual Arts. And so we talked about this a great deal. And I told her, I shared this story and I'm going to share it with you. So when I'm a little girl again, five, six, seven, I loved the movie musicals. And these go back way back to when Hollywood was the old Hollywood and you had the Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly,
Yes.
and Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney, movie musicals. And so I was watching television with my mother one day, and I all of a sudden this lion comes on, and I must have been 7 years old. The lion comes on and roars. And I said to my mom, without knowing anything, because I didn't know about Hollywood. I just knew I liked these stories and the music. And I turned to her and I said, "Oh, mom, this is going to be a good one." And she laughed. She said, "How do you know that?" And I said, "Because the lion roared." I didn't know about MGM. I didn't know about the movie studios. I didn't know anything. But that's branding. That's brilliant branding. Disney has done the same thing with the Disney Palace and the way it basically the fireworks and the Tinkerbell and the fairy and all that. They've branded it. And so that was the first thing I did was I want to make sure that we're branding each of these. And we talked about how that branding would be. So these are all the things, again, when anybody who's listening, if you're looking for creativity, look within yourself of what impresses you or impressed you. Those kind of moments is really what creates art for all artists. The best art, you've got to understand it within your own soul.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much. And I'm so excited to learn more about how you started, you co-founded and co-produced the Indie Collaborative,
Yes.
which with Grant Malloy Smith. And I personally cannot thank you enough. And Grant, it has really had a huge impact with enlarging my life and my whole creative process and my whole creative community in such amazing, amazing ways. And I just want to learn more about how that all started. And I've been able to perform at the Bitter End and different places and be in projects with people. And you asked me to be a part of Leany's Library, which was, I was so honored and it was so much fun. I got to go in this great studio and there was Ricky Prasad directing us, and you were there, and it was just filled with magic. And it's just beautiful how you brought so many people together and that you included me. It's such an example. So I want to learn more about how you chose people for your project, but also about how you got this brilliant idea and how you're dedicated and help people so much, artists, musicians.
Well, let me go backwards. Let me say how I
Okay.
got people for the project. Okay.
Oh, okay, yes.
Okay, let's talk about the people for the project. So, as I
Yes.
said, when you said, is there an order? Yes, there is an order of how this was created. So, first, my sister had to give her blessing and get on board with this. And then, second, we brought in Ricky and he made these five fabulous arrangements. Now, arranging, I told him, I said, I want it to sound like we've got a Broadway orchestra. And so obviously we weren't going to have 32 pieces, but I wanted it to have that kind of feel so that the music would really be rich. It would be like basically have a really full sound to underscore what the story was and the animation. And so he came up with these different, ideas for orchestrating. And certainly when he said a violin and viola, I said, and we had just met now through the Indie Collaborative. I said, oh, I know exactly who that will be.
Ah,
That was
thank you.
easy. That was very easy. And as far as the vocalist, I had different, again, different guest artists from both the Indie Collaborative and both from my Broadway, projects, former Broadway projects. And it was so much fun to bring all the different people in on each song, whatever they were doing. And I thought about personalities because in art, again, it's yes, it's always, I had a dance teacher that said, yes, there is classroom, if you're giving a classroom performance, it's like you're marking it. You play, and this is true in music, it's true in dance, it's true in acting. You're marking it, you're getting there right, right? You're starting right, you're ending right, you're getting there on time. But that personality, that passion may not be there. You're just kind of doing the technique of it, all the technicals. But I wanted to have people who had very different kind of passionate personalities. And that is basically how I decided. And then, of course, it was it's always a very busy time for artists. So I just had to be lucky and keep my fingers crossed and say, gee, can we work this out? And I would say 95% I was lucky. So that's a pretty good percentage in the arts when people are so busy and you're doing an awful lot of different projects. But now we're going to get back to
Let's
the
take a little pause and then I
yeah.
can't wait to learn more about that.
Okay, great.
So, thank you. See you back.
Imagine an experience where world-class music meets the power of sound, miracles, and transformation to release stress, dissolve subconscious blocks, and reconnect you with your highest self. That's what happens when you work with Karen Olson, Billboard's top musician, intuitive sound healer, and best-selling author. Her private sessions and Elevation Pathways programs have helped thousands of people worldwide transform their lives, finding freedom from stress, clarity of purpose, and a deeper connection to their true self and their dreams. As a special gift for Sound Pathways listeners, when you book a session, you'll receive a personalized sound meditation recording to continue your transformation at home. Limited spots are available. Book your session now at KarenOlson.com/services. Your path begins with sound.
I'm so excited to learn more about how Indie Collaborative started, how it was born.
Well, and this would go back to 20, about 2013, I think. My husband and I, we were living most of our young adult lives in Kansas City. We're not from there, we're from the East Coast. But he got an opportunity. I'm very lucky. I will share with everyone. I've been married 52 years, and
Wow.
I knew my husband. Even we didn't go to the same high school, but we met in a youth group, and I knew him 6.5 years before that. So this February will be 59 years that we celebrate our dating anniversary.
Wow.
Okay.
Congratulations. That's a
Yeah,
lot of
so yes, right. It's
beautiful.
a lot of life.
That's
And
beautiful.
so 5 days after I graduated college, we got married, and he went to Albany Medical College. I went to the State University of New York at Albany, where I got my graduate degree in theater. And so we lived there for 3 years, and then we went to live. He did his residency in Connecticut. After his residency, he got an opportunity, and we thought this is so much fun because we had never gone to the Midwest. We never thought we would stay there for a long time, but we'd always lived 3 years in one place or another. We thought we'll go for a few years and then we'll come back to the East Coast again. But we loved living in Kansas City. We stayed there for 35 years.
Wow.
Okay, so now I guess it's about 2012, 2013. And I'm starting to get involved in Facebook. And I see the people talking about their activities, what they're doing artistically and musically in Facebook. And one fella in particular always made me laugh. And his name is Grant Malloy Smith.
Yeah,
And he just has the greatest sense of
he
humor. I didn't
does.
know anything
Amazing.
about him. But I did know he wore a cowboy hat.
Yes.
And I did know that his kind of music is Americana roots, although he does a lot of different other music. All right. In fact, the music from Leany's Library and one of his songs is going to be on a new children's album this year. Okay.
Great.
Called, yes, Arise Together. Songs to Inspire.
Awesome.
But anyway, I'm reading all his funny comments, and
Yeah.
I'm thinking at the same time, everybody on Facebook that we're now, I'm an artist, I live in New York, I'm going to be at this show and that show, will you come see me? Well, at the beginning, because it was very novel for me, I thought, oh, okay. I'll go and I'll meet these people who I don't know who they are, but I'll meet them in person and I'll be watching and listening to them. Because again, at that point, I knew people in the Broadway community, but not necessarily in the general music community. So after a while, I was thinking, Eileen, you can't go out every night. I mean, it was like every single night I had something else. And you know, you could go see three people a night in New York City. And I said, no, I can't do this. So I had this idea. It was ruminating in my brain. Why don't we put all these people together, make like a club? And every once in a
Yeah.
while, we'll get together and we'll perform for each other and we'll know who we are. And then when I need, you know, if
Wow.
we need a musician, if we need somebody to work with us in something, we have somebody to call. So I was thinking about, oh, well, you know, when I record again and I want, you know, these musicians, I'll know musicians, I'll be able to do this. So what happened is it's now February 2015. And Grant and I are both members of the Recording Academy, and we're both Grammy voters, but in different fields. And again, I did not know very much about him, but a couple of the other women that I had met, that they were in New York, but they were from all, well, one Jody Quine from Canada, and here in New York, Christina Godet, that I just think we were basically. It was Christmas time and we were having cocktails together. And I said, you know, I've got this idea. And Jody immediately said, oh, you should definitely be in touch with Grant. So I said to Grant, I'm going to be at the Grammys in LA. Let's talk. I've got an idea. Well, I approach him and I didn't say, and the only reason I could find him, because when you go to the Grammys, everybody should know, it is like a sea of people, very
Yes.
well-dressed people, but a sea
Yes.
of people, a sea of people. But he always wears a cowboy hat. So I saw his cowboy hat and I said, "You must be Grant Molloy Smith, and I'm Eileen Sherman, and I've got this idea." And I said a couple of sentences, and he immediately says, "I'm in." That's all he had to say. I'm
Wow.
in. And because what I found out later, he had also been thinking about this idea.
Wow.
He thought that it was really something that people in the music industry should come together and from all different genres. And that's what we are. And now we are 2,000 plus, probably
Wow.
about 2,500 people at this point, 2,000 plus people from around the world. I always joke, we are represented on 6 out of 7 continents. The
Wow.
only continent we haven't gotten because it's the penguins is Antarctica.
Wow.
Everyone else, and many of them are Grammy winners and
Wow.
Emmy Award winners and all kinds of music awards. And it's very, they're brilliant musicians like yourself. And
Thank you.
I have to say, it's been a joy to get to meet and to know so many of these. And as we said, it would be a source and a resource for collaboration. That's why
Yes.
it's called Indie Collaborative. And there's no criteria. The only criteria is that you have to be a professional musician and you have to be over 18 years old. But other than that, you join, you, and then we have these showcases, and then we have these concerts. We're going to have one of our concerts at Lincoln Center for the holidays on December 3rd. I invite
Wow.
everybody who's in the area to please come and follow, come to our website to learn more about us. It's indiecollaborative.com.
Oh, thank you so much. And I think everyone can feel from your beautiful heart and spirit and your
Thank you.
accomplishments and the high level you do everything that you represent people in that group. And I know I'm very thankful and just respectful of my days at Juilliard and that experience of people collaborating and being around people of that level. But what I am really affected and just amazed by is the level of openness and support and fun and just being there for each other and just the level of everything of not feeling competitive, even though you
Right.
might be in the same category wanting the same Grammy, but you still want each other to do well.
Yes,
And
the
it's
Indie
beautiful.
Collaborative, is not about it's not about awards. We don't have an award.
Nope.
It is not about competition. It's
No.
about inspiration and supporting one another. And that's what I say. All of a sudden, I'll get a call from someone. That's why I'm on this. All the music of Leanie's Library is on the children's album because another Grammy Award-winning producer was putting together a charity album for this wonderful charity called Pickleberry Pie. And they basically send musicians and artists and vocalists into hospitals all over the country,
Beautiful.
entertain kids that are battling all kinds of illnesses. And we all know that's the worst experience of all when we have a loved one in the hospital. And so this producer, he called me up and he says, "Eileen, what are you working on?" And I said, "Well, I'm working on this idea." I said, the actual picture book musicals are not completed, but we have recorded all the music and they're new recordings. They've never been recorded before." And he said, "Well, why don't you send me one?" And I said, "Okay. I mean, why don't you send me five and I'll pick one." And I said, "Okay, you send the five, you pick the one that you think is going to work." And he called back and he said, "Gee, can we use all five?" And I
Wow.
said, "It would be my pleasure." And so that's the kind of thing that happens all the time with collaboration. And people have bands, but somebody gets sick or there's a tragedy or something, and one of your bandmates it can't do a gig, and you've got to get to the you got to be very responsible. There is discipline, there is responsibility in the arts. That's like primary. And so somebody else will just step in. I can tell you another really wonderful one of our artists, I don't know, multi-Grammy winner from Hawaii. He was doing a special event in here in at Lincoln Center, and he needed, I don't know whether it was piano or drum, but this particular artist, Alex Ode, he's facile and he's a multi-instrumentalist. He basically connected, and he basically, I think that was maybe his first time at Lincoln Center. So, I mean, this is like we give each other opportunity. That's what we try to do. We give each other opportunity, but we get to kind of perform and jam with each other. And we do have fun. I agree. We do have
It's
fun.
so much fun, and it makes the world small because people will travel from other countries and the other side of the US to go to somebody's performance.
Yes, they
You
do. They
know, I
do.
mean,
I
it's
know.
just
I know.
really, it's really an experience I never had even dreamt of, and it's so beautiful. And I hope everybody could find that type of a community in their lives because it makes all the difference. And when you're working with somebody, it's more than one and one equaling two. It's just exponentially huge. Huge.
A couple of years ago, we did one of our showcases in Newcastle, England. You know, we have a really wonderful R&B musician there, Trevor Sewell, who we all adore. And I just had said to Grant, I said, well, why don't we try to make this international? And I said, and you know, it would be fun to go to England, you know, during the summer. So a couple of years ago we did it, and he was our co-host, and he helped us put it all together, and it was brilliant. And people did come from all over. They did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, before I ask one more question, how can people find you and find Leanie's library, and how can they share it? It's just such an exciting project, and you've made this available to people. If you can help people know how to find it.
Right. Well, thank you for asking that, because it is very easy. It is very, very easy. We put it all on a web page called Leanie's Library. So Leanie is Leanie's Library, Librarry, Leanie'sLibrary.com. All they have to do is go to Leanie'sLibrary.com. If they do that, the first three picture book musicals, first of all, there's a lot of instruction about what it is there. If they scroll all the way down, they can even click to another page to see all, and it's about 30 different people who are involved in this project. They can see their beautiful pictures, plus, and they come from, and they also hail from all over the world. They can see their beautiful pictures, but also read their really remarkable biographies. I love when I put together a group and I see all these wonderful projects all these people have come from and have contributed to. So, but at Leanie's Library, all they have to do is click on the picture book. There are three of them. I advise everybody, expand your screen because it takes you right to YouTube. Then you'll be on YouTube, and expand your screen so that it will feel like a mini musical, as if you were watching a musical movie. And then it will close up, go back to Leanie's Library, go to the next one, close up, and then go to the next one. I do want to say, and I did this purposely, obviously, artists have got to make a living, and so they basically have to, you know, charge everything. But for this one, because I did not want it to be a burden in any way that teachers or families or librarians could not use it, I made it absolutely free. So these
Amazing.
are just like a library. All you need is your library card. And for here, all you need is your computer, or to go to the library or the school and use the computer, go to leaniesliberary.com. I wanted this to be a resource forever for people that would like to use music, rhythm, rhyme, animation, and text to help kids have fun practicing reading. So that's it.
Wow. And I love that it's got such meaning in it that it's fun for the adults. It's all generations.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's what I said. That is the signature of everything that the Bluestone Sisters do. It is for everyone, the young and the young at heart. So I'm hoping
Wow.
that you might be listening now and you might be approaching your 90. I have a good friend in her 90s. I have 90, you might be approaching your 95th or 98th birthday. I think you're going to get a kick out of Leany's Library. So
Yeah, I love how you can make learning fun and life fun.
life fun. That's right.
Yes.
That's
So
right.
you're talking about taking your dream and taking all the steps and then having this amazing project creation that you get to share and improve everybody's lives. So if you're going to think of a way to encourage someone, like maybe a small step they could take every day, would you have something in mind you could share?
Well, I think people, first of all, people see the world differently and they create differently, and what inspires them is different. So, and again, as we talked earlier about what their gift is, okay, whatever their gift is, I actually, and what I treasure is dedication, persistence, like tenacity, okay, and openness to like everything around. So let's say I'm not a nature person. I love nature. I have great respect for nature, but I'm much more of an indoor person than an outdoor person. But let's say the outdoors is your thing. That's what you love. That's what gives you calm and happiness and that extra breath of freedom. So basically, be looking at that, immerse yourself at that, and see whether it's a beautiful flower, about whether you hear a bird chirping, whatever that is, allow that to start to kind of like ramp up your creativity. Like how can that basically inform and allow you to, so if you want to write, basically look at something that makes you happy and write about it. Or if you want to write and something that really upsets you, but not just to talk about the upset, but to talk about the bigger vision of what would make things better. And so I do inspire, I mean, I do suggest to everybody to find the things that make you happy, and that will direct your own creativity. As I said, what made me happy, I was driven to storytelling. I know that. I loved reading. I could escape inside a story and those characters. I could think about characters for days and days and days afterward. But I also loved the music, and I loved dancing to the music, and I loved the fun of rhyme. I loved the, I still do. I love the cleverness of a great rhyme and the way it can scan to a song. So these are the things that make me happy. And there, I'm way up there, but I can put it on some music and I can start dancing around my bedroom. So, it's like that is, I think that's the secret. It's to find what makes you happy. It could be the o my father loved the ocean. That gave him peace. That gave him calm. I think whatever makes you happy, find what makes you happy and go from there.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And we have all different ways of expressing it. Some people might get a guitar or piano and sing, or they maybe pick up a drum, or they dance, or they color. I mean, they
Right,
paint.
exactly. They
So
paint.
to
Yes.
try something new, maybe you didn't even know you had this other area that you loved. It's just been so amazing because life is a story.
Right.
And we're creating our own life story, and we can always change how we write it, and we can bring in other characters, and it just keeps exploring. And I just love your beautiful energy and your love of life and how you share it in such big ways. So thank you, and thank you for all you've done for me and for all that we're able to share here and all the people who have enjoyed your books and Leany's Library and all of it. It's such a great gift to the world you are. So thank you, and thank you for your time today. It just really reminds us that great work is built step by step, and we get our intuition, we make a plan, and we invite the right people to play with us. And that makes life so great. So we're going to borrow your blueprint. We're going to start small, and we're going to share generously.
Sounds good.
So I encourage everyone to take one action today. And my heart is so full. I can't thank you enough. And
Well,
thank you to
thank
everyone
you.
that's been with us today. And blessings and love.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of Sound Pathways with Karen Olson, where music and healing come together to open new pathways in your life. Relax and renew with Karen's award-winning music, crafted to soothe your spirit and uplift your heart. Available wherever you stream your favorite music. Ready for deeper transformation? Book your personalized healing session today at karenolson.com/services and receive a custom sound meditation designed just for you. Join our vibrant community. Stay engaged with our free newsletter filled with exclusive offers and practical tips, even powerful tools to support you on your journey. Until next time, keep following the sound of inspiration and live the path of your dreams.